Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now join us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in very special guest. He's at NBC Sports, NFL analyst, and he's over at Pro Football Talk Live. Chris Sims on the hotline. Chris, thanks for coming on, man.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Always good to talk a little Cleveland Browns football. So they're the exciting team in the NFL right now, and I do enjoy talking about them.
All right, well, let's get something out of the way now, and it's something that, you know, local radio has to dwell on at times, and even nationally I see it get brought up when it comes to either Le'Veon Bell or, in this case, Odell Beckham. People going nuts because Odell is at Browns OTAs. Does this mean anything? Is it that big of a deal when they're in, when they're out, if they parachute in, like has been, in some different cities, that has been the way that some of the superstars have treated it?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, hey, Tom Brady's not working out with the New England Patriots right now, but nobody wants to really talk about that because it's not as sexy as saying Odell Beckham Jr. is not there. That's a bigger story. So, yeah, again, it's not a big deal for me, especially when it comes to just working out. I expected Odell Beckham Jr. to be there for OTAs and minicamp and all that. When it comes to on-field work and, his ability to, learn the offense, work with the other players on the team, work as a unit, get to hear the little intricacies from Baker Mayfield, all those things, yeah, he's going to be there. But this is the other thing I'll just throw out to the people out there. I've been around this for a long, long time with my dad, myself. I'm still obsessed with it. You have to put it like this. There's 90 guys on a football team right now. Most organizations, there's 2, 3, maybe 4 weight training coaches, right? So there's three or four guys to watch over 90 guys. Well, hey, some of the better players in football can afford to have, somebody who watches their diet and can afford to have a personal trainer. And more importantly, what I think is being lost in translation with guys like Odell Beckham Jr. or Le'Veon Bell not being a part of team workouts and things like that, hey, team workouts a lot of times are very broad. Yeah, the strength coach tries to make it position specific, and he might have a few drills here or there that's one good for the receiver, one's good for the defensive tackle. But for the most part, you're doing a very similar workout. And, for a wide receiver like Odell Beckham Jr., some of those things he's going to look at and go, why the hell would I be doing that, doing the same thing the 320-pound defensive tackle is doing? Has nothing to do to make me a better player. So, it's a nuanced sport. All we really want as Cleveland fans and Odell Beckham Jr. fans is him to play awesome. And I think this is how he believes he can play at an awesome level. You don't have to worry about his work ethic. He's kind of known for it. I mean, training, like Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, they all go out and train with him last year. I think this is a guy that's very motivated, wants to be great. And I don't think the Cleveland fans should worry about Odell Beckham Jr., not being ready to go.
So if that's the case, Chris, and yeah, we had Joe Thomas tell us about a week and a half ago, voluntary workouts were a complete waste for him in his career, so he would just skip them. And that's a guy that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. If that's the case, why is this still in the CBA? Why is this part of the traditional calendar?
Yeah, well, I do think there's a place for it. I still think there's guys that, first of all, some of the younger players, the guys on the bottom of the roster who aren't making a lot of money, one, they don't want to pay for personal trainers and do all that. There's still a lot of benefits. It's still getting guys in shape. It's still getting guys who are younger and experienced, a little extra meeting time with the coaches, being around the facility, all of those things. So, yeah, guys like Joe Thomas, first of all, he's a professional. He's extremely talented, and you didn't have to worry about him. And I don't know necessarily if he had the greatest strength coach in the world or the worst strength coach of the world. I think he's probably still going to go to the Hall of Fame. It didn't really matter to a guy like him. But, some of these other players, it does matter, and it does serve a purpose. Really, I honestly think it's a little bit too short of a workout program or period altogether. Here we are, they've only been working out for like 3-4 weeks, and here it is already. Oh, let's get on the football field. Let's practice. We got to see what you got. And I think sometimes that's what leads up to a lot of the injuries we see in football the last few years is lack of long, sustained periods of training to get muscles and tendons truly stronger. It's always a rush to get on the field and do football work, and I'm not so sure I always believe in that aspect of it.
Chris Sims joining us on the hotline. All right, I wanted your perspective on when we talk top receivers in the NFL. I know you've put lists together, best route runners, best hands.
Right.
Where is Odell across the board? If you were to tomorrow start a team and you get to pick whichever wide receiver you want, where does Odell fall on that list?
One. He is Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, I've been in his corner for a while now, you know, especially up here in the New York area where, you know, things that he has done or did get a little blown out of proportion, right? So that always drives me crazy. It always drives me crazy how Antonio Brown can do five things and it doesn't get as much attention as Odell Beckham Jr., like, you know, swearing at the kicking net. So I have always been a defender of him there. But either way, whatever you think about him off the field, on the field, there is no argument. I mean, this is a guy that has the chance and the talent and the skill set to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He has a chance to be the greatest wide receiver of all time. I mean, he can beat you deep. He can catch a screen pass and make five people miss and run for an 80-yard touchdown. He'll catch the ball over the middle. For a guy that's 5'11", he has unbelievable catch radius, so he can go up and get 50-50 balls. There's really not a weakness to his game. He is one of the four or five best route runners in all of football, for my money. So I look at a guy here that I think this was part of the frustration of Odell Beckham Jr. with the New York Giants, and I think it was with the New York Giant football players too, because they realized how great Odell Beckham Jr. was, and they weren't really getting the benefits of his greatness because, one, they might not have an offense that always knew how to, you know, showcase him, and two, they definitely had a quarterback who was unwilling to hold the ball in the pocket and throw the ball to him when he was wide open down the field. And I think those are some of the reasons why he's not in New York and is now in Cleveland.
I might as well just ask you for your top five. Where's DeAndre Hopkins? Where's Michael Thomas? Are any of these guys factoring in?
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins would definitely be in the top five. I would have probably put Tyreek Hill up there in the conversation too, but it doesn't look like he's going to be playing anytime soon. So, you know, okay, I haven't nailed down my top five receivers in football, but I would say right off the bat it would go Odell, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, probably DeAndre Hopkins at number four. I'm not going to count Tyreek Hill right now because, yeah, I don't think he's going to be playing in the NFL this year or anytime soon. And then after that, that's where it gets interesting to me where, yeah, I look at guys like Michael Thomas, certainly a part of that conversation, and Mike Evans, who's right there with him. I would probably go Mike Evans at number five. That would probably be the guy I would pick.
All right, great stuff. Chris Sims, I love the way you break down quarterbacks. So let's talk Baker Mayfield. Everybody at an all-time high of what Baker was able to do second half of the year, especially with Freddie Kitchens as his OC. Now he's the head coach. What does he need to do to get better? We all love what we saw last year. How does he take the next step forward?
Yeah, well, I think it's more about, you know, you hear the phrase sometimes like, you know, you got to learn how to win in the NFL. I don't know if there's anything physically I look at to go, okay, gosh, he needs to improve this area. I mean, I think John Dorsey and the Browns, they knocked it out of the park with Baker Mayfield. He's better than I thought he would even be. I don't really look at any aspect of his game and go, gosh, he's got to improve that, or I don't know if he'll ever be really, really successful. No, all the physical abilities there. You know, I think really when I just look at Baker Mayfield, managing situations a little bit, maybe being a little less aggressive. I think about the game like the Houston Texans, where the game's kind of being evenly played, but he still kept that aggressive mindset, and all of a sudden, oh man, it's one interception, it's two interceptions, oh gosh, you know, here's a game that's gotten away from us, and yet we were playing as good or maybe better than the team we were playing, but he was a little reckless with the ball. But again, I'm not even totally alarmed by any of that stuff. I really think it's about more like situational football, just as, you know, when not to force the ball down the field, when's the right time to force it, when do you throw into double coverage, when do you throw it away, when do you take the sack, you know, all those little things, these little decisions that we usually overlook on a Monday morning or whatever, they're very big into keeping your team in positions to win football games, or if you're behind, keeping you in a manageable situation. That's something that, like, New England and Tom Brady have mastered, and we all look at it and go, man, it's 18 years of good luck for the New England Patriots. No, they know how to manage every situation, and Tom Brady, because he's been in so many, he's being coached about it so much, he understands how to do the appropriate things for whatever that time or situation is calling for.
All right, AFC North this year. Browns fans are hoping this is the year they can finally conquer this division. They've been dominated by all three teams over the past 25-plus years, but the hope is Pittsburgh takes a step back and also that Baltimore, their gimmicky offense, can't hold up. How tough of a division do you think this will be?
Gosh, it's one of the toughest divisions of football. I mean, I look at the AFC North and AFC South and just go, holy cow, is there a lot of good teams right there? And, I mean, all really, you know, playoff-caliber football teams. I mean, I even look at the Cincinnati Bengals and I would say, oh, that's the worst out of those eight teams I just talked about. And I still look at their roster and go, damn, there's a lot of good there. But I do expect I'm picking Cleveland to be in the playoffs. You know, again, I don't think they're going to win the division. I still think I'd probably give the edge to a Pittsburgh Steelers team that I think is going to be motivated by some of the things that happened in the offseason and all of that. But I do think Cleveland overtakes Baltimore maybe for that number two spot. I really do. You know, again, it's not going to be easy for Cleveland. Certainly, we know that. You got to prove yourself. They're going to have some tough games early on in the schedule to where they got to make sure they don't get themselves too deep into a hole. But I really looked at it just at a base level and do think Cleveland is the type of team that's going to be in the playoff conversation, and I really would be shocked if they're not in the wild card football, you know, wild card game somewhere along those lines. I got a lot of faith in Freddie Kitchens, and I think a lot of people are sleeping on that defense with the head coach from the car, Steve Wilks, coming over as defensive coordinator. I thought those were some of the under the radar great signings of the year, let alone some of the talent that's on the roster already. So I'm excited for Cleveland in general. I'm not giving you the division crown yet, but still, I think playoffs and certainly a dangerous team.
Chris Sims with us, a few more, and I appreciate the time.
No problem, man.
Listen, this is a lot to handle for any head coach, never mind a guy who had only, in terms of a leadership position, had only been offensive coordinator for eight games. Now he's the head coach, and he has to balance a team that is being compared in some ways to the dream team Eagles.
Right.
But you seem to like the hire, and so does just about everybody else. How do you feel he'll manage all of these egos and all of the big expectations?
Yeah, right. Well, I do like the hire. I mean, just first of all, I mean, you guys saw it. You saw the transformation of the offense. He played to the strengths of the team and the talent on the field and didn't ask players to do things that were unrealistic for their skill set. That's what a good coach does. That's what Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick do every year. You know, they don't just go, oh, this is what we do and you better guys better figure it out. No, they figure out what their roster is and then they formulate a game plan around it that's realistic to execute. That's why I like the coach there. And yeah, if you guys don't hire him as a head coach, you guys are going to have a great year again with him as being the offensive coordinator. He's going to go somewhere else and be the head coach. So I like the hiring, and I've been around Freddie Kitchens a few times in my life. He's no nonsense, no BS, but yet at the same time, he can make you feel very easy to talk to. And I think that's what players like. You want a coach there you can feel like, okay, I can talk to him, the door's always open, and he's going to shoot me straight. If I'm playing good, he's going to tell me good, tell me what I'm doing well. If I'm playing bad or need to improve on things, he's going to go there too. And that's where I think Freddie Kitchens is really cool. Yeah, he's a little bit younger and inexperienced, okay, but you know, so what? He's also been around a lot of other really good football coaches, and I just think he's got a great way with them and a great way with players in general, and I just would be shocked if it doesn't work out. You know, I tell this to a lot of people. Bill Belichick is much more of a player's coach than people realize. You know, he's very hard on the coaches, but the players feel very comfortable talking to Bill, and he really goes out of his way to make sure they know that he cares about them, and he gives them those honest evaluations, and that's why you never really hear players leave New England and say, oh, Bill Belichick's such a jerk or did any of that. No, Bill's very smart like that. I think Freddie Kitchens has just a similar balance with his personality of, you know, being open, being a good guy, but yet being the authoritarian dictator when he needs to be.
All right, finally, Chris Sims breaking it down like no other. Who is the team to beat in the AFC?
Oh, man, that is a great question. I mean, come on, are you really? You know the answer to that.
I think I know who you're going to say. But
yeah, well, I can't not pick New England Patriots in that conversation. You know, New England, again, you know, they had a good draft, had a good free agency, had guys on the roster already from last year's draft who didn't even get a chance to contribute last year. You know, they got two out of their first three picks. Isaiah Wynn, first-round tackle out of Georgia, he didn't play last year. He's going to be in the lineup. Their second-round pick, Duke Dawson at corner, he's going to be playing this year. So, yeah, I still look at New England and go, they are the cream of the crop. And, you know, they're still doing things to make their team better. So, at the AFC, I think when you look at it, yeah, okay, New England's king. I think the Browns are going to be a pain in the butt and, of course, a playoff-caliber team. But then I go, okay, I think the Steelers are going to bounce back. I look at the Indianapolis Colts. and go, man, everything's on the up and up there. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you made me pick a sleeper team, and I don't know how sleeper that is, but it's still the most talented defense in football. And now they got Nick Foles on offense to where the defense doesn't have to win every game like they did the last 2 years with Blake Bortles at quarterback. I would go watch out for Jacksonville once again, too.
All right, Chris. Appreciate it. We can find all your stuff, obviously, at NBC Sports, NFL analyst and the co-host of PFT Live. We tell everybody to make sure to tune in. Appreciate you coming on, man. Great stuff.
Anytime, buddy. Be good. Thanks, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.